This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Alliance. The city's oldest alternative progressive newspaper, reporting on issues ignored or distorted by corporate-dominated media and providing a voice for social justice activists, environmentalists, trade unionists, and the progressive community. Information at 503-239-4991 or theportlandalliance.org. How have corporations acquired so much power, and what is a Portland group doing to try to rein them in? Stephanie Potter speaks with Marcia Myers of End Corporate Personhood. That coming up next on the Thursday Morning Radio Zine.
Hi, and welcome. You're tuned to the Recovery Zone on KABU Radio, and I'm Stephanie Potter. As I mentioned last time, the Recovery Zone is about addiction, but not just addiction to drugs or oil. It's about a society where values such as sustainability, cooperation, equality, or direct democracy take a back seat to things like consumption, competition, and consolidation of power. In my view, we're addicted to a way of life that is causing tremendous harm. But there are lots and lots of people who believe it doesn't have to be this way, and who are working to make real changes. Today's show is about a Portland group called End Corporate Personhood. And the group is trying to do just that. End the idea that a corporation has the same rights as a living, breathing human being. The group started over a year and a half ago and now has over 300 people on its listserv and a committed core group of about 25 or so. My guest is Marcia Myers, a retired school teacher who has been with the group since it began. Marcia, I'd like to welcome you here and just get started by asking, what does it mean for a corporation to be a person? I mean, what does this actually mean?
Well, for me personally, it means that we don't have a democracy. And I taught school for 30 years. For 30 years, I taught children that we lived in a democracy, and I honestly thought we did. And I also feel now like I'm doing penance for all those years that I was teaching the history of the United States in really a way that is to the advantage of the corporations and not to democracy. Just about 6-7 years ago, I discovered that in 1886, corporations were given our constitutional rights, and they have every right that you and I have under the United States Constitution, but as we know, they have many attributes that we don't have. So therefore, they've become very powerful and actually have taken over our government.
And now they're covered under, for instance, First Amendment, freedom of speech, the Fourth Amendment. They can't be searched without warrants.
Exactly. And those have been given to them over the years by the Supreme Court. And because we have been raised where this is what we see as reality, our minds have been colonized into thinking this is just the way it is. However, in a democracy of we the people, we would be the ones who were giving rights to the corporations rather than corporations having the same rights as ourselves.
End Corporate Personhood is actually going to be running a corporation for governor. Could you tell us a little what that's about, Marcia?
This is an idea that one of the individuals in our group came up with, and we have decided to go with it, and it's pretty exciting. For one thing, we incorporated ourselves. It took about 2 or 3 days and $50. And Rich Corporatson is our candidate. His campaign manager will be Hal Burton. And he will actually be running for governor in that corporations, through their lobbying and through their ability to influence our political system with freedom of speech, which is now money, they pretty much run our government anyway. So we thought we'd cut out the middle person and just have Rich Corporatson become governor.
Governor of Oregon, right?
Governor of Oregon.
For the next minute or so, I'd like to just play a little clip of another member of End Corporate Personhood, Shane Parker Allen, reading off some of Rich Corporatson's campaign platform.
Well, about the environment, we feel that a tree saved is revenue lost. Our tax policy is that it says right there in the Bill of Rights, you pay the bills, we get the rights. And we propose an end to all forms of minimum wage, labor regulations, and unemployment, disability, and retirement pay. We dream of a day when the trading of labor is as open and free as that of disposable plastic spoons.
Oh,
it's freedom of speech, too. Okay. Platform on freedom of speech. This is a right we corporations hold strong. There are currently several campaigns to deny us the right. One, in the Nike v. Caskey campaign, it was a lawsuit that tried to take away our right to lie to the public about our use of sweatshop labor. This would largely take away our ability to misrepresent our ethical viewpoints to the public and could greatly harm sales. Another is trying to take our freedom to control elected officials by changing campaign finance. The third case is trying to claim that people actually have more rights than a corporation. They are trying to regulate commercial billboards while at the same time allowing mural artists to paint freely. Rich Corporates and Inc. believes that since the corporate elite have more money than the general public, and since money, according to the Supreme Court, equals speech, that the corporate right of free speech should be more closely protected than that of the people. And our education policy is that Americans should get the best return on their children and incorporate them today.
So those are just a few of the rich corporates and platform policies.
And running rich for governor is a spoof, but there's a lot of good information that we're going to be putting out on his website that will give you information about how corporations truly are overpowering our democracy and taking over our commons.
Could you say a little more about that?
The commons is what we share together. The basic commons, of course, is the air we breathe, the water we drink, which corporations are trying to privatize that too. Our schools, to me, are part of the commons, as is our health. These are things that we should control together through representative government. Rich Corporatson thinks the commons should be owned and that he and the privileged ones that have the money should be controlling it. And so you'll be seeing and hearing about this campaign in the next several months.
Hopefully Rich loses.
Well, let's hope he loses. Oh, right. My word. That's a pretty scary thing itself.
Well, how do we get to the point where corporations have the rights that you were talking about earlier, have this power and the rights of personhood?
Well, first of all, in 1886, in a Supreme Court decision, it wasn't actually decided that they were persons, but the clerk of the court was writing the headnote that corporations had been given personhood in a case where they actually weren't, and then that was used as precedence, just the headnote for that case.
And not a Supreme Court decision, just a clerk headnote. Santa Clara, 1886.
One of the things that's very disturbing about this whole issue is that corporations declared themselves persons under the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was written after the Civil War to prevent discrimination against African American men. And this is one of the really disturbing aspects in that corporations saw that amendment as an opportunity to declare themselves persons, and because they had the might and the money, they went to the Supreme Court over and over again until they were able to slip this 1886 case note into a case and then start working to build their power as far as our constitutional rights after that. I want to just read a quote from Justice Hugo Black. He says, in the cases in this court in which the 14th Amendment was applied during the first 50 years after its adoption, less than half of 1% invoked it in protection of the Negro race. And more than 50% ask that its benefits be extended to corporations. So corporations kept knocking at the door until they actually broke it down in an illegal way so that they could take advantage and also keep democracy out of the hands of the people.
So you're saying they wanted to keep democracy out of the hands of the people?
This was a very critical time for the privileged, moneyed people in our United States, because at the Civil War, when the constitutional rights were given to African Americans and women were also declaring that they were people under the Constitution, the powers that be that actually control the United States were starting to worry about what would happen if we really did have democracy. The rights of the people were a real threat, and they still continue to be a threat in that that's how our government is set up if we decide we're going to take those rights.
And our actual revolution was not just about trying to overthrow King George, but also about trying to get our rights back from corporations.
Right, and this is a part that is really disturbing. Our founders were very, very aware of the power of corporations. And as a matter of fact, when they had the Boston Tea Party, it was the revolt or the demonstration against the East India Company that was working with the monarchy to bleed the colonists of any profit they could. It's similar to what's happening with the corporations that are bedfellows with our rulers at this point. So our revolution was fought against the monarchy, against their interaction with corporations. And one of the things that really was disturbing to me, there's an excellent book that Tom Hartman wrote, Unequal Protections, which gives the history of how corporations came into their personhood. In there, he tells how Jefferson and Madison were afraid of the power, the aristocracy of money, and that is why they worked to get the first 10 amendments into the Constitution. The thing that really disturbed me is that Jefferson really wanted to get an 11th Amendment in, and that 11th Amendment would have prohibited corporations from owning each other. It would have restricted corporations as far as their lifetime. It would require them to have the first purpose to be created for the public good. It would have banned monopolies in commerce, and it would have banned corporations from giving money to politicians. He and Madison, and there's many letters back and forth between the two of them, Madison finally convinced him to let go of this 11th Amendment and just get the other 10 in there, because he said at that point all of the 13 colonies already had laws that prohibited these things. They were already wary of the power of corporations. So they left it to the colonies to protect themselves. And of course, as we know, little by little and state by state, now corporations do have all of the powers that they were so afraid they might be taking.
So, yeah, it sounds like then basically the people were protected from corporations by state laws, but that's been transcended now by judicial things in the Supreme Court.
And I want to mention at this point that one of the things that's really incredibly disturbing and enlightening is to look at Supreme Court cases and to realize that not only was the Santa Clara case, it wasn't decided, but it was used as a precedence, that after that, our rights were given to corporations, and as they were given to corporations, corporations had more and more freedom. And one of them that was really significant in people say, why have corporations gotten all of this power at this point? In 1976 and 1977, two cases, Buckley versus Vallejo, actually said that corporations have First Amendment rights of free speech and that speech is money. When they said at the Supreme Court level that speech was money and corporations have free speech, then they pretty much took over our political process. Also in 1977, Boston versus Bellotti, this is another place where the Supreme Court overruled a lot of states' restrictions on corporations giving to political activity. That was really sort of the watershed of corporations taking over. Then another one that is so contradictory, this was in 1919. The Supreme Court said that corporations' reason for being was to make money for their shareholders, that corporations are people, but their reason for being is to make money, is complete hypocrisy. And I just want to make clear, these are Supreme Court decisions that have actually put our democracy at risk.
And just for our listeners' information, you're listening to The Recovery Zone on KBOO Radio. And we're talking with Marcia Myers, who's with End Corporate Personhood. To find out more about her organization, you can go to www.ecporegon.org. That's ecporegon.org. And to find out about the campaign for Rich Corporatson, you can go to www.votecorporate.org. www.votecorporate.org. To carry on, in all of this, as I understand it, you're not so much against corporations as you're against the personhood for corporations. For instance, a neighbor has a little store, and I was telling her I was going to be doing this interview, and she said, well, I have a limited liability with my store here, a limited liability corporation. And it seemed like, for her, a very good thing. It protects her from losing her house, for instance.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that should always be our first disclaimer, which is corporations are fine. They are a construction for business within any society, but they should be controlled by the people rather than the corporations controlling the people.
Right.
And all of these things in place in a balanced way would be positive. But as we can see, this limited liability has taken it, especially for the multinational corporations, the huge corporations now, they have gotten rid of most all responsibilities. And what's happened, too, is corporations that do want to be good citizens or be responsible actually have a real hard time even existing. We have corporations that, as in the movie The Corporation, are psychopathic. They have taken our constitutional rights and totally trampled any smaller corporation's goodwill. You can't compete where one of the entities is totally out of control.
The cheaters, as it were.
The greedy cheaters.
Right. And this is what End Corporate Personhood is working to change.
And they're not alone in this. And a really exciting thing that I've just become aware of and that we are definitely supporting is an initiative that the OEA, the Oregon Education Association, has just put out to get a ballot measure for corporate accountability. And we were thinking that we would do it, our little group, but now the Oregon Education Association has taken this on, which is a wonderful thing. And what it is demanding is that corporations in Oregon disclose how much money they make and how much property they own and how much they pay in taxes in Oregon. The vast majority of major corporations in Oregon pay $10 or less in income taxes. This has come out because of the Enron scandal. And what is happening here is they are getting all of the advantages and they are not carrying their share of the responsibilities of our community. They have been able to keep their tax information private because of their constitutional rights. So when we pass this initiative, which I just can't imagine we wouldn't do, then we will demand that corporations share what they're making here in Oregon and take on some of the responsibility of the tax burden, which is being shifted more and more to the people and less to the corporations.
That sounds really good.
So do look for that initiative and sign the petition to get this on the ballot. It's just coming up now. And again, we, the In Corporate Personhood group, was thinking that we would do this. But bless their hearts, the Education Association has taken this on.
And you're seeing a lot of support out there for ending corporate personhood?
I want to say again, we're not alone in this. And it's just not in Oregon that people are waking up to the inhumane and insane idea of corporations sharing our constitutional rights. So we are in collaboration with groups around the United States. They're also working on this issue. One of the things we have talked about doing, and it's going on, as I said, in other communities, and that's where communities say, sort of like, not in my community is a corporation, a person. We would like to think that sometime in the near future, our group or in collaboration with other groups will sponsor an initiative or a city ordinance that says that corporations are not people in Portland and then eventually are not people in Oregon. Again, we're not alone with this. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. This is taking place in Pennsylvania, in California, in New Jersey.
But assuming we can get these laws to pass, don't you think the corporations will be fighting them all the way to the Supreme Court?
Yes, exactly. When we pass this initiative that the Oregon Education Association is gathering the petitions on right now, the corporations in Oregon could very well come back and say that they don't have to disclose how much taxes they paid because of their constitutional rights to privacy. If they come back and sue the state, then we, the people, hopefully will carry this on through the court system until it gets to a place where the Supreme Court, on this case or some other case, has to make a decision. I want to really state again, corporate personhood has never, ever been decided at the Supreme Court level. And in 2003, Mark Caskey in California actually sued Nike for lying about its sweatshop involvement. And rather than saying that they had lied, they said that they had lied, but they had a constitutional right to lie under their first constitutional amendment. This was taken all the way to the Supreme Court. However, when it got there, the Supreme Court turned it back. The more cases we get in the system that challenge corporate personhood, at some point, the Supreme Court is actually going to have to make a decision. They don't want to because this is so entrenched. But we, the people, if we keep demanding that corporations are not people, it will eventually have to be changed. And the ones of us that are working on it are looking for the word natural to be put into the Constitution, if possible, in the 14th Amendment, so that it says natural people.
Right, because corporations are not natural. They're artificial people.
Exactly.
So what would your vision be then, if we could end personhood for corporations? What would America look like?
What it would look like is a much more humane and kind society, one where people's rights and people's lives were given priority over money or over property. And as a matter of fact, one of our favorite quotes is that slavery was the legal fiction that people were property, and corporate personhood is the legal fiction that property is a person. So as far as what it would look like, it would be much more humane. It would be much more egalitarian. I want to say in my 30 years of teaching, I had the privilege of teaching kindergarten for 6 years, two sessions, so I had 60-plus kids a day. And I have two children of my own, and now a grandchild as of last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And that's another reason I'm doing this work. So I can say that I'm pretty much an expert on people as they start out. And I want to say in those 6 years, and as a mother, I have found that people are good. Children want to help. They want to make things work. There's a part of us that is competitive, but it's a very small part. We live in a society that is built, and I did it in the school system. Our school system is built on competition, which builds fear and intimidation. Corporations, and again, this is back to the movie, The Corporation. If they were a person, they are psychopathic. They're completely out of control as far as greed and competition. But it is a part of our society that is magnified. I would like to see the other end, the caring, the cooperation, the collaboration that I saw in those children magnified.
Yeah, cooperation over competition. And so to wrap it up now, could you give us information on any other events you might be working on?
Well, we have done a lot of education and outreach through film series, through presentations of speakers. Carl Mayer was here a week or so ago. David Corton will be here in May. He wrote When Corporations Rule the World. He's now written another book called The Great Turning, which I can't recommend highly enough. And as we've worked for education and outreach, we have tried to think of ways that can engage people. And this Rich Corporatson, the idea is that we might as well cut out the middleman, because corporations truly are running through their financial ability and their longevity, not only our country, but our state. So we hope to raise awareness and then to actually take control of our community by saying, we want this psychopath out of here, or this psychopathic idea.
That's great. So, and then, like, you have meetings and you have places to contact you, phone numbers?
My phone number is 503-665-3957. And you're welcome to call if you want more information or if you want to hook up with the group or hear more about what's going on.
And there's meetings on the first and third Tuesdays downtown at the Unitarian Church.
It's between 12th and 13th and Salmon and Main. It's on the whole block there.
At 1011 Southwest 12th in downtown Portland. And to let people know again, to contact
ECP Oregon, in Corporate Personhood Oregon, ecporegon.org.
Good.
Lots of orgs in there.
Okay, ecporegon.org. And Rich Corporatson will be running, and his campaign is going to be launched the beginning of May, right?
Probably near the end of May, middle of May. We haven't quite come up with the timeline. We want to do it well, but he will be out there, and he'll be out all summer long campaigning with Hal Burton, and I'm sure you'll run into him, and he will have a website.
And again, that website is www.votecorporate.org. Meanwhile, my guest has been Marcia Meyer with End Corporate Personhood, an organization dedicated to eliminating the power of corporations. If you'd like to find out more, just contact the website or give her a call. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Marcia.
I really appreciate this opportunity to get the word out.
Okay, thank you. I'm Stephanie Potter, and you've been listening to The Recovery Zone on KB Radio.
It's a Thursday morning radio zine for Thursday, April 27th. It's 9:30. Coming up next, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, at 10 on Radio Beyond Borders. Hear a documentary called We Are Americans, which explores the lives of immigrants and refugees in Oregon, produced by award-winning producer Mia Kim. And at 10:30 on Art Focus, Julie Bernard speaks with local painter Peggy Prusak Collins. So stay tuned for that. Preceding program was brought to you in part by Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring 100% natural fiber clothing for women and men. Real clothing for real people, proud to sponsor the important voice of KBOO. Gazelle is located at Northeast 41st and Fremont and can be reached at 503-288-3422.